Tonight we're continuing looking at John's Gospel. We've had a sermon series called In, Up, Out. If you've been with us recently, you will know that we've spent a term so far looking at John's Gospel in at the encounters Jesus had with people and what it tells us about Jesus and the people that he met and what it tells us about ourselves and our own lives. Tonight, we start on the up bit. We're thinking about the I am sayings of Jesus in John's Gospel and considering what they tell us about God, about what Jesus says of himself, how that can help us in our understanding, about who God is, about what he says about our lives. And it's challenging, are the I am sayings of Jesus. We're starting as we mean to go on. It's a challenge tonight. Not an easy passage, so hang on in there. So if you have a Bible, please open it. They are available in front of you. It will appear on the screen. I have one verse, but I'm John chapter 8, verse 23, but I'm going to read around it so it's in context. So turn to your Bibles or look to the screen. We're thinking about John chapter 8, verses 21 to 30. And you might find it helpful to keep your Bible open in front of you as we're going along. Okay, John chapter 8, verses 21 to 30. I can't tell you what page it's on. 1074, but to be fair, if you don't know where John's Gospel is, after we've done it for a term, we're in trouble. Okay. John chapter 8, verses 21 to 30. Once more, Jesus said to them, I am going away, and you will look for me, and you will die in your sin. Where I go, you cannot come. This made the Jews ask, will he kill himself? Is that why he says, where I go, you cannot come? But he continued, you are from below, I am from above. You are of this world, I am not of this world. I told you that you would die in your sins. If you do not believe that I am he, you will indeed die in your sins. Who are you? They asked. Just what I've been telling you from the beginning, Jesus replied. I have much to say in judgment of you. But he who sent me is trustworthy, and what I've heard from him, I tell the world. They did not understand that he was telling them about his Father. So Jesus said, when you have lifted up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am he. And that I do nothing on my own, but speak just what the Father has taught me. The one who sent me is with me. He has not left me alone, for I always do what pleases him. Even as he spoke, many believed in him. I am from above, says Jesus. It's the second I am saying. Earlier on in the chapter 8, he tells his followers that I am the light of the world. We'll be thinking about that in a few weeks' time. I am the light of the world. If you follow me, you won't be a people living in darkness, says Jesus. And it's in the context of that conversation that we earwig and eavesdrop onto a rather animated conversation between Jesus and the Pharisees. The Pharisees are challenging Jesus. They question his authority. They accuse him of being a liar rather than seeing Jesus as the light who gives them life. And the guide to the Father, they reject everything he says out of hand. And this is a defining moment. The leaders are listening, but not hearing what Jesus is saying. They have the ability to get the bread of life, but they're not listening and not hearing what Jesus says. So that leads us into the passage, John 8, and the verses that we've read. I've often said that perhaps Jesus comes from Yorkshire. There's a phrase that my Uncle Walter used to say, that a good Yorkshire person always says, that a good Yorkshire person speaks as they find. They speak as they find. It means that they speak the truth. And even when that's unpalatable, even when that's hard to hear, that is what Jesus is doing in our passage tonight. He's speaking words that don't beat around the bush. He's telling them the truth, and that is hard to hear. He's speaking plainly about who he is, about what he came to do. And basically saying, if you continue to reject what I am saying to you, there will be dire consequences. We have many examples in the Gospel of Jesus speaking like this, where he makes it clear that there are two choices. And he says, you are from below, I am from above, you are of this world, I am not. I am not like you, says Jesus. I am the Messiah. But the choice is this, he says. Die from your sins or believe in me. That's the choice. Two choices. Believe in me or don't believe in me. Life or death, says Jesus. Your choice, the choice before you. Black or white, stark choice, a blunt choice. If people refuse to believe in me, Jesus says, they will end up dead in their sins. They will miss out on everything God has for them, and eternity. That's the choice. Choose life, says Jesus. Jesus is always giving people choices like that. He says a lot of hard things, but we all often like to concentrate on the more palatable truths. We talk about how much we are loved by God. I like to talk about how much we're loved by God because that's very true. God in Jesus loves every single one of us more than we can imagine, with a fierce, passionate love that we will not know outside of eternity. We are loved. I am loved. You are loved. Yippee! We like talking about love. We can get our heads around that. That's an idea, a concept that we understand. We like to talk about grace. Amazing grace. We sing about it all the time. No matter where we are in the journey of life, no matter where we've been, there's always an opportunity to come home, that God calls us to come and find him again. Amazing grace. We like talking about grace. But in our passage tonight, grace and love may not be so immediately obvious. This is not gentle Jesus, meek and mild. This is Jesus telling you, this is what you need to find life. If you don't do it, don't blame me for the consequences that come. This is it. Choose life. It's a message of last chances, of listen carefully to what I am saying. This is who I am. We have a sense of urgency and immediacy in this passage. It's not easy to hear. In one of the commentaries I read this week, one of the commentators compared the Jesus we find in this passage to the embarrassing uncle that everybody has. The one that you love because he's family, but who says the things in company that you really wish he wouldn't. I don't know if you've got somebody like that in your family. I think nearly everybody in my family is actually that person. And you think, oh, I wish they wouldn't have said that. and they're just embarrassing. The one relative that might actually be thinking what everybody else is thinking, but is the one that says it. And you think, great. Jesus is being blunt, and he's saying, unless you say your yes to me, apart from me is a place that you do not want to be. In verse 21, he reminds those listening that he's going to go away. I'm going away, and you will look for me, and you will die in your sin. Where I go, you cannot come. He says it often. He repeats it in all the way throughout John. In John 7:33, Jesus says, I will be with you a little longer, and then I'm going to him who sent me. In John 8:14, he says, you do not know where I came from or where I am going. There is a whole sense of the otherworldliness of this, that this is an immediate thing to hear, that his time on earth is coming to an end. It's probably around about 5 months until his death. Jesus is preparing the path to Calvary. The time is short. You need to be making a decision. Follow me and you have life and light. Reject me and that's the way of darkness. Make your mind up, because you're not always going to be able to be where I am, says Jesus. You might search for me, but you might not be able to find me. And I think that's true, that many search, but they're not really looking for Jesus. Fruitful searching is when you pursue Christ because you know he's the only answer you can find. And that's what he's saying. And he sums up really for us the gospel in many respects. Seek me alone to deal with your sin, because I'm going to a holy father who cannot be, and you cannot be there because you're not holy. You can't be with God when you've got dirty hands and mouths and dirty feet. That's what I'm for, says Jesus. And those who hear this don't understand what he's saying. They don't think that he means them. He's not talking to us, this choice of life or death. This saying yes to what he's offering never crosses their minds that this is about them, this choice. Because, of course, we deserve to go to heaven, think the Pharisees, of our own works and of our own goodness. And isn't that where we are in our community, in our culture today? I sometimes am called upon to do funerals for those in the community, just from the funeral director, well, give me a ring. Louise, can you do a funeral for me? Yes, I go along. And most people believe in heaven. There's a general assumption that people will get to heaven. I have this conversation often with people who have no professed faith whatsoever in Jesus, and they think that that's where they're heading. Because surely everybody goes to heaven, don't they? Because the other ending to the story is not very palatable. It's not what people want to hear, and it's hard. And Jesus is making that clear. Believe in me, in who I say I am, just as I have been saying all along. This is not new, he says. This is not a new doctrine. I'm not just introducing this to you. This is who I have said I am right from the beginning. When I'm lifted up, says Jesus, when I'm crucified, remember this conversation. Even at this point, he knows what is to come. And then you will know I am who I say I am. I am the parachute that saves you from freefall. That's a Louise paraphrase, says Jesus. believe in me. I am from above, he says. It is what it says on the tin. It marks Jesus out as very different to us. You are from below, says Jesus. I am from above. You are of this world. I am not. We may think we've got it all sussed out, that we're in control. I am a woman who likes to be in control. I suspect there may be other people here who are those similar people. I like my world ordered, and I like to be in charge of it, and everybody else's world around me, to be fair. Our world might have great scientists. We can make things as humans that are awe-inspiring. We can be at the cutting edge of medical and scientific discovery. We can go to the edges of the universe and also see the tiniest bits of the known world in microscopes. But we're not God. We are not God. We stand at different points and we end at different points. We are from below, heading towards darkness and destruction, were it not for God's rescue plan in Jesus. I am from above, says Jesus, light and life, heading towards glory and the very presence of God. We're not the same. We're different, but I pave the way for you to life and light. That's the choice, says Jesus. And it's the choice that's before each one of us. Do we believe in what Jesus came to be and do, what he says that we are being saved from? Or not? You might think this is a particularly heavy sermon, Louise. Where's the funny stories? Where's the random PowerPoint slides that I like normally to use? The self-deprecating humour? Not the funniest of messages tonight. True. If you've got ears, you'll hear that this is good news. That this is stunningly good news. The incomprehensibly high God of creation loves us unconditionally. Even when we are wrapped up in our sin, even though God sees us and sees the mucky mess our lives are in, God says, I love you. So much so that God sends Jesus to walk through our joys and sorrows and to suffer and die for us. And in doing so, God extends grace and forgiveness and life and relationship and abundance, and we don't have to earn it. It's a gift, but we need to say yes or no. Believe and trust. That's the good news of the gospel. But it comes hand in hand with a stern warning tonight. Salvation is given to us freely. We need to receive it for ourselves. There's a place set at the table in God's banqueting hall. We need to RSVP. And Jesus says, if you refuse to do that, if you spend your life stubbornly refusing to do so, then you will die in your sins and you will face judgment apart from Christ. Then the Jesus we reject in this life is the Jesus who rejects us in the next. That's the choice. And it's good news. It is actually good news. God's love and grace always go hand in hand with judgment. He speaks these words out of love. And there's no doubt in my mind when Jesus is talking to the Pharisees, to the religious leaders who he condemns this day, he loves them. Because his dying breath on the cross is, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. And it's because Jesus loves them that he can't but help speak the harsh word that they need to hear, that will sway them in the direction that they need to go. Consider yourself richly blessed if you have one person in your life who loves you enough to tell you the truth, who speaks the truth, who does some heavy shepherding. I love that phrase, heavy shepherding. Somebody who'll be honest and speak the truth to you because they love you, even though they may offend you. We're all blessed if we've got that person who we're held accountable to. That's a real friend. And that's how I see this passage. It's a hard passage to hear, especially if you've not said yes. But it's one that we need to hear. And it's one that we need to be honest about in the church if we are to love our community. And loving and serving our community is to be honest with them. One of my favourite verses in the Bible, which I quote all the time, is this: but in your hearts revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer for anyone who asks you to give reason for the hope that you have. But do it with gentleness and respect. And we must do the same. Be bearers of the good news. The good news of the one who is above, who shows us a new way to help people make that choice. And so, the choice is put before us. And many of us have said our yes. But perhaps you haven't. What's your choice tonight? Life and light or not? The choice is ours. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you that when we were lost, you made a way back home. We recognize that we are fallen people that our sins are many, that we are full of pride and arrogance, and that often we want our own way and not yours. Father God, we thank you that you did not leave us wallowing in our own sin, but made a way. And that way was Jesus. We thank you that because of your great love and your great mercy, you gave us a rescue plan. Father God, help us to say our yes and our continuing yes to Jesus. Thank you, Father God. For Jesus and for that salvation plan at the cross. Thank you that we are forgiven. Help us to see your goodness and your mercy. We pray. Amen.